The research integrity story that surfaced on HN today is one of those pieces that's uncomfortable to read and impossible to put down. A researcher flagged two papers submitted to a major AI conference for having what appeared to be fake authors, names that didn't correspond to real people with verifiable academic histories. Both papers, despite the flags, were accepted as oral presentations. Orals, for context, are the most prestigious presentation tier at these conferences. They're not just accepted, they're featured.
The author of the post described the review process's response to the flags as charitably cursory. The implication is that the volume of submissions to top AI conferences, which has exploded over the last 3 years, has overwhelmed the social infrastructure that normally keeps research accountable. Peer review has always relied on the assumption that reviewers can check credentials, trace institutional affiliations, reach out to co-authors. If the authors themselves are fabricated, that verification chain breaks entirely.
This connects to something the HN community has been discussing under the label AI slop, a genuinely useful term for content that is technically coherent but epistemically hollow. Papers that pass the surface-level checks, have real-sounding abstracts, cite real papers, but are produced without genuine experimental work or authentic institutional grounding. The disturbing implication is that if this is happening at oral presentation level, it's almost certainly happening at a much higher rate in the accepted but not featured tier.
From a market perspective, this creates a serious credibility problem for AI research as a field. Institutional investors, governments, and companies make decisions based on the research landscape. If the research landscape is partially fabricated, the decisions downstream of it are based on distorted signals. That's not a niche academic problem. It propagates into product development, regulatory frameworks, and funding allocation.
On a very different note, Gemini Robotics 2 from DeepMind is generating the most sustained technical discussion in today's comments, with 456 replies. The headline capability is what DeepMind calls whole-body intelligence, which means the model can reason about and coordinate the full kinematic chain of a humanoid robot, not just arm movements or navigation in isolation. Previous generations of robotics models tended to decompose tasks. There's a planner, a grasper, a locomotion controller, and the interfaces between those subsystems were where things went wrong. Whole-body intelligence is an attempt to collapse that architecture into something more unified.
The practical demonstrations shown in the blog post include a robot recovering balance after unexpected perturbations while simultaneously manipulating an object, which sounds simple but requires the kind of integrated reasoning that prior systems genuinely struggled with. One HN commenter, who identified themselves as a robotics researcher, noted that this is less a breakthrough in any single component and more an engineering achievement in how components are unified and trained together.
What I find most significant is the application framing DeepMind chose. They're not leading with factory automation or warehouse logistics, the traditional commercial robotics pitch. The framing emphasizes environments that are unstructured and human-occupied. That's a deliberate positioning choice. It signals where they think the long-term value capture is, and it's in spaces that have historically been considered too variable and too socially complex for robotic systems.
DeepSeek had a significant overnight release as well, the V4 Flash model, tagged 0731, which dropped new benchmarks and pricing details. The analysis on artificial analysis shows it continuing the pattern DeepSeek has established, performance at or near frontier level on several reasoning benchmarks at a price point that undercuts Western competitors by a substantial margin. The HN discussion had 170 comments, and most of the serious technical discussion was around whether the Flash designation implies a distilled model or a full-scale architecture, and what the inference cost structure actually means for API-dependent businesses.
There's a related piece today that's worth noting. A show HN from ctgt.ai that looked at what happens when you distill DeepSeek into GPT-class open-source models. Their finding is that the censorship patterns in DeepSeek's outputs don't transfer through distillation. So if a developer is worried about DeepSeek's built-in content restrictions around politically sensitive topics, distilling the model's capabilities into an open-weight base doesn't carry those restrictions along. That's a technically interesting result, and also, depending on your perspective, either reassuring or concerning.
The AI aesthetic piece by Jim Nielsen is getting 318 points in a lively comment thread, and it deserves more than a passing mention. Nielsen's argument is that there's an emerging aesthetic signature to AI-generated content, not just in images, but in text, in UI design, in the cadence of explanations, and that this aesthetic is actively flattening the diversity of human communication. It's not that AI output is bad. It's that it converges on a certain kind of confident, smooth, well-structured competence that starts to feel like a monoculture when it dominates enough of your reading environment.
The comment thread had people arguing both sides vigorously. Some pushed back that every new medium creates aesthetic norms. Photography created its own conventions, television created its own, and AI is no different. Others argued the speed and scale of AI diffusion means the convergence happens faster and more completely than past media transitions, leaving less room for countervailing aesthetics to develop. I don't think there's a clean resolution. But it's the kind of cultural question that tends to get answered in retrospect, not foresight.
Google's Chrome security announcement deserves mention here, too. The claim is that AI-assisted bug hunting fixed more Chrome security vulnerabilities in June 2026 alone than were fixed in the entire preceding 2 years combined. That's a specific, striking claim. The mechanism involves AI systems doing automated fuzzing and variant analysis, finding not just the reported bug, but the class of bugs that share its root cause. The HN skeptics raised fair questions about how the comparison is being made, and whether the bug's fixed metric is being defined consistently across the periods. But even accounting for methodological generosity, the directional claim that AI is accelerating security work in non-trivial ways holds up under scrutiny.